It's baffled scholars for two millennia. It is a puzzle made of multidimensional elements. An enigma with roots that reach back to the dawning of time, perhaps before. Daniel explained part of it. Ezekiel and Isaiah had glimpses into it. John saw it all for the time of the end. That time is now. Join Derek and Sharon Gilbert on a journey that spans the course of history. From Eden to Mount Hermon. From Hermon to Babel. From Babel to Rome. From Rome to the cross. And from there to us. Biblical prophecy is coming true before your eyes. And to understand it, you must discern the times both then and now. It's time to unravel the threads of this all-encompassing prophetic paradox. It's time to unravel Revelation.
Welcome to Unraveling Revelation from Skywatch TV. I'm Derek Gilbert.
I am Sharon Gilbert, and we are so delighted that you have joined us today, and we're just praying that all the electronics work correctly, and pray my mouth works correctly. We have been talking the last few weeks about Satan and all of the fallen rebels who are surrounding him in his infernal council.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So, you know, shouldn't surprise us that our electronics have been misbehaving.
Giving us a little issue, so we're hoping and praying, and we actually literally prayed over the receiver for the wireless microphone set before we began recording.
We did.
So we'll trust that the Lord's got all this under control, and if you never see this recording, well, then this message makes no sense. So anyway, we'll just move right on. But no, this is really intriguing because as we've learned through our study over the last 2 years of this program, but even before that, thanks to Dr. Michael Heiser in his book, The Unseen Realm,
yes,
that the unseen realm, the spirit world, is far more complicated. It's more crowded than we've been taught.
I think crowded is a good way to put it. We know that there were 200 watchers, that's what Enoch tells us, that descended on Mount Hermon. We're also told that when the devil, you know, the dragon sweeps a third of the angels with him, the stars of heaven, which are, of course, these are talking about the host of heaven, the army of heaven. And if it's talking about the army of heaven, I would argue that that's just a part of the heavenly realm because they each have a specific job to do.
Exactly. And the Lord basically entrusted them, and as you put it in your Red Wing saga, trusted and laid it out as a test and a trap.
Because he knew exactly how they would respond. Therefore, they fall into the trap. It isn't that he's intentionally trying to make them fall. He knew in advance. The Lord knows every choice you and I will ever make. It doesn't mean that we're automatons. We still have free will.
Exactly. And he created them with free will as well. And so we've seen through their action that many of them have decided to rebel against him, just as all of us have, as the Apostle John wrote, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. There is none righteous, no, not one. So that would appear to hold true with the angelic host.
We have a tendency to, at least I do, have a tendency to have this almost cartoon version of who Satan is. And at the same time, try to picture, again, almost what I call flannel board Christianity. It's never meant to dismiss the sacrifices that Sunday school teachers make.
Right.
You have to start somewhere. The problem is many of us believers never move beyond flannel board basic cartoon almost teachings that our Sunday school teachers, tell us about when we're 5 or 6 years old.
Well, one of the lines that I included in my novel, The God Conspiracy, which I credit with the Lord for this bit of inspiration, after realizing that when I began writing that book in my mid-30s, that most of what I thought I knew about theology, I had absorbed from pop culture, from what little attention I paid during church when I was a kid. And we didn't dig really into theology in church on Sunday morning.
Well, we've grown, and that's how it should be.
Right. But when we get to a point where we realize that a lot of our assumptions, and we're going to talk a lot about assumptions today and also next week when it comes to Satan and the spirit realm, are based on things that didn't, that don't come from scripture, but come from films, books, novels. And I wrote in the novel, one of the characters saying to another one, your eternal soul is far more important, is far too important to make decisions about it from the fiction section of the bookstore.
Yeah.
Or from the Hollywood films.
Yes, not to dismiss fiction. It's important.
You can
However,
teach good lessons,
that
right.
cannot be your only source of information.
Right. And so a lot of what we think we know about Satan and about the angelic host comes from pop culture, whether not just Hollywood, but thinking back to many of the famous works of art from the Renaissance and artistic depictions of angels in the angelic realm. And
yeah, chubby,
that,
winged.
Right,
yeah.
right. Or the effeminate-looking angels who are with wings. They're never depicted with wings in Scripture. Angels are never depicted with wings in Scripture.
Now, it doesn't mean that they're not winged. We don't know.
There are winged entities
yeah,
in Scripture. The
there
seraphim,
are.
The cherubim.
Exactly,
right.
because some of them have six wings. We are told that.
Right.
But basically, the ones that come to earth look like men.
Exactly. So when we want to find out who we're dealing with here, who is the enemy? Who is the enemy of our eternal souls? Who is it who wants to destroy our families and everyone that we love?
I would argue that that enemy, and there is more than one,
mm-hmm.
if you've been watching Unraveling Revelation, you know that. I would say that that enemy and his court, the infernal realm, they would love for us to have a flannel board Christianity,
sure.
a film version, almost cartoon, of what they are capable of. You and I today were trying to figure out exactly how we're going to approach the topic. Again, we're not... These programs on Satan and mm-hmm. his crew, if you want to put it that way, they're not exhaustive. Please don't ever think they are. And they are not definitive.
No.
In other words, we're not saying we know for a fact mm-hmm. that this is true.
Yeah. And when we speculate, as we often do, we will do our best to let you know that we're speculating. What we hope is this will encourage you to do deeper study as well.
Exactly.
All of us need to dig deeper into Scripture to rightly divide the word for ourselves. And by praying for wisdom, God will open his word to you. But it is our prayer as we produce these programs that we never add, as the book of Revelation says,
exactly.
add nothing to it and take nothing away
take
from it.
Take nothing away. Well, in 1884, Pope Leo had a vision. He was conducting mass,
mm-hmm.
and he seemed to have gone into some sort of a fugue state, or they thought perhaps he was extremely ill.
Having a stroke.
Something like that. Mm-hmm. And so he was taken into another room, and doctors were called. When he came round again and began talking, he said, no, he'd had a vision. Now, it's possible this vision came from the Lord, but not every spirit is trustworthy.
As John wrote.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I don't know Leo personally. I pray he's with the Lord now, the Pope, because being Pope doesn't necessarily mean that you are shut out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because I think that any person, I know that any person can know the truth. And oftentimes, if you're in a certain job, you have to be persuasive in little bites
mm-hmm.
because you can't just sweep everything away. Sadly, the Catholic Church, beginning with Vatican II, just about swept everything away, including
yeah. Yeah.
what Leo experienced. Pope Leo saw a vision, and he was told that within the next 100 years or so, that Satan's plan to deceive the church was going to be ramped up. He saw a conversation between what appeared to be God Almighty and Satan. It was identified as Satan, mm-hmm. capital S. And it was very similar to the Job depiction, where the Lord is listening to Satan as the adversary, who's saying, I think I can take down your church. In fact, I know I can. And the Lord said, well, you're welcome to try. And Satan's response, and again, these are paraphrases, Satan's response was, I just need a little more time, and I need a little more power, but I can do it. And it's a weaselly way for the enemy to try to, you know, get more power. Mm-hmm. And we see in Scripture, Satan, when he's thrown down, is angry because his time is short.
Right.
So, yes, he believes and can read the signs far better than we do. He knows his time is short. So Pope Leo's vision, the Lord said to Satan, okay, here's more time. Here's that more power you wanted. Go to it. The Lord knows the end from the beginning. He knows that Satan will fail to take down and erase his church. That's the plan. So to so co-opt us and so take us off our original mission that we're worthless. He essentially corrupts the bride of Christ, which is the very thing that we see sons doing in the Old Testament all the time. I'm going to take my dad's bride. I'm going to make her mine in public. Dad will see me do it, and now I am the king.
We saw examples of that in, with Ham and Noah. This was the actual sin of Ham. When you read carefully, you understand that uncovering one's father's nakedness is not seeing one's father disrobed. It is actually engaging in an incestual physical relationship with your father's wife.
Exactly.
That we saw Absalom do that with the mm-hmm. harem of David. We saw Reuben do that with Jacob's concubine Bilhah.
Yes.
So, yeah, that's what that means, is I'm now the big dog.
Yes.
Because dad can't stop me. And it appears that, yes, when you think about it in that regard, the sons of God from Genesis chapter 6 who came down and saw that the daughters of man were fair and mm-hmm. took wives of any they chose, that is, in a sense, there was their declaration of ownership, if you will.
Oh, I know.
Over what God had given to the sons and daughters of Adam and Eve and said, okay, go and take dominion
yes.
of the earth.
Now, was Pope Leo's vision from the Lord? I don't know. But we do know in Scripture mm-hmm. that similar confrontations have taken place mm-hmm. between Satan, the adversary, and the Lord God Almighty. We see it in Job.
We also see it in Zechariah, where he's standing before the angel of Yahweh and demanding to test the high priest Joshua, Yeshua. But also in Luke, we see, it's the Gospel of John. I'm sorry. Luke 22, verse 31. He wanted to sift the disciples like wheat.
And he got permission. He did, because the Lord says to Peter, Satan has asked for permission to sift you.
Right, right. And Jesus, you're right, he did, because Jesus prayed for Peter that he'd be able mm-hmm. to withstand it.
Yes.
And then he said, when you turn back, strengthen the remnant. So you're right. So there are several confrontations like that in Scripture.
There are. And I would argue that we see a hint of it in Isaiah 14, that we get these I wills. I will do this. I will do that. It's this enemy saying to the king, the true king, I am going to dethrone you. And one of the ways I'm going to do it is by co-opting your bride. It doesn't say that in here,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
but the only way to kick the king off the seat, the throne in the Old Testament world, was for the son, the false son in mm-hmm, this case.
Mm-hmm.
He's a creation of the Lord. Satan is our elder brother.
Mm-hmm.
He's an errant, evil, rebellious elder brother
mm-hmm.
who wants to take over.
Yeah, yeah. The question is the entity in Isaiah 14 Satan? And we discussed that previously, but if the question is, if he's not Satan, then who is he? We'll talk about that when Unraveling Revelation continues.
Call now and take advantage of SkyWatch TV's most groundbreaking deal of the year. With the rediscovery of the ancient prophecies from a mysterious group of prophets and scribes hundreds of years before Christ, your understanding of end times prophecy and the final age of man is about to be forever changed. In Josh Peck's new book, The Lost Prophecies of Qumran, The veil is lifted as you discover how much of what you've been taught about Israel in the first century is incomplete. Shockingly, there were Jewish believers who knew exactly what to expect from the coming Messiah, that he would be God in the flesh, would die for our sins, and even the date of his first arrival. In Josh Peck's new book, The Lost Prophecies of Qumran, you will discover lost prophecies only recently discovered in the Dead Sea Scrolls about the time we are now living in, how the enigmatic group known as the Essenes formed and what influence they had on the New Testament, what hidden feasts and festivals the Essenes celebrated, and what messages the group left behind for believers living in the present age, how the prophecies of Daniel and Revelation fit within the Essene timetable, and how an ancient Jewish calendar actually predicts the prophetic significance of the year 2025. But that's not all. For the first time ever, you'll also receive Dr. Ken Johnson's massive three-book collection entitled The Ancient Mysteries of the Essenes, where Dr. Johnson compiles three of his most groundbreaking research studies on the Dead Sea Scrolls into one massive collection. In Book 1, The Ancient Dead Sea Scrolls Calendar and the Prophecies It Reveals, you will discover the secrets of the mysterious 364-day calendar used by the ancients since the time of creation and how it has been hidden until now for the appointed time. In Book 2, Ancient Testimonies of the Patriarchs, Autobiographies from the Dead Sea Scrolls, you will hear the previously hidden prophetic texts of such patriarchs as Enos, grandson of Adam, Lamech, father of Noah, Amram, father of Moses and Aaron, and even Enoch from the Book of Enoch fame. And in the most shocking revelation yet, Book 3, The Ancient Order of Melchizedek, you will learn astonishing facts about the enigmatic priest Melchizedek, such as why his priesthood was and is different from that of Levi, why the Messiah was ordained after the order of Melchizedek, and how the facts surrounding this mysterious order dramatically affect the theology and practical applications of our Christian walk today. This collection is an absolute necessity for any researcher's library, and for those who want to fully step into the minds of the ancients and see the Dead Sea Scrolls like they never have before. Now you can get this incredible collection for your donation of only $35 plus shipping and handling. So don't miss out on SkyWatch TV's most groundbreaking deal of the year, the Lost Prophecies and Ancient Mysteries Collection, available now at SkyWatchTVStore.com. Order now or call 1-844-750-4985.
Welcome back to Unraveling Revelation from SkyWatch TV. I'm Derek Gilbert.
I am Sharon Gilbert. And a couple of things. We want to invite you to go to Israel with us. If you have never been, or if you have been and you've just not been to lots of archaeological sites, go with us. Just go to the URL, skywatchinisrael.com, skywatchinisrael.com. All the information is there. And we're trying to go at least every year and a half. So the next trip is scheduled for March of 2022. And trust me, if something happens that, say, there's a vaccine requirement or quarantine requirement,
yeah,
Lipkin Tours is really good about that. And they will make sure that any deposit that you put down is refunded to you.
Absolutely. So skywatchinisrael.com for those details.
We also just want to really briefly say that we as SkyWatch TV, we've lost a few friends lately. They've been called home. And you love it when a friend is called home. Natalina was called home.
Mm-hmm.
Char Graham, who is a major, I say is because she's still alive in heaven, but she has been a matriarch and a great example to everyone at the Jim Baker Show at Morningside.
Right.
And she helped to raise a whole lot of wonderful kids that wouldn't have had a home.
That's true.
Had the Bakers not taken them in.
Right. And she was very gracious to us. It made us feel like family from the very first time we visited Morningside. So if you're watching this on the PTL network, and our gratitude for them broadcasting this program is it knows no bounds. You will know by now that she has passed, but it's impossible to measure. Yeah, it is impossible to measure the impact that she's had on that ministry and the lives that she has touched. The legacy that she has made will be measured someday with the truckload of crowns that they'll be backing up to bestow upon her when that day comes.
Absolutely. And at SkyWatch, we've lost a really dear friend, someone who's been helping us out in a lot of ways, not just at the studio, the warehouse, but also at the ranch.
Mm-hmm.
And that is our good friend, Carrie. And she's been called home. it was unexpected, but the Lord said, you know, time to come home.
It's a good reminder that none of us is guaranteed another day.
And
that,
we're not.
What we are called to do, though, is fulfill the Great Commission to the best of our ability with each day that we are given.
Yes.
With the talents that gifts and the gifts that God has blessed us with.
Yes.
So if just let the people around you know how much they mean to you. And just remember that you don't know how much time your coworkers, the person you bump into at the grocery store may have before they are suddenly called home. And that the word that you drop, the seed that this Holy Spirit plants through you, mm-hmm. may be the one that results in them being among that that cloud of witnesses that we read about in the book of Hebrews. So, yeah.
We can get so involved in trying to drill down and figure out what this scripture means or that we forget to love those who are around us. So just share love as often as you can.
Mm-hmm.
Share love, share Jesus.
Yeah, yeah. Well, again, in the interest of understanding the intelligence, if you will, that God left us about the enemy, in the Bible, in Isaiah 14, it's sort of been assumed, we talked about this previously, so I don't want to rehash the whole thing, but we've always assumed that Isaiah 14, that Lucifer, son of the morning, son of the dawn, or Halel ben Shakar in the Hebrew, refers to Satan. But as we discussed in a previous episode, that was not the understanding of the early church. It really developed over the first few centuries after the resurrection, the idea that Satan was a fallen angel who you could see all through Scripture. That was not the understanding of
Satan.
Well,
he is a fallen angel. There's no doubt about that.
Well, he is. But it was not the understanding of the early church that Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28 pointed to the rebel in Eden. And when you read those verses carefully, you see that there's nothing in those verses that suggest that the Nakash, the serpent in Eden, was
right.
The one who's in view in either of those chapters. So the question is then, who is?
Well, here's the thing. There is a verse in here that talks about this entity, Halel ben Shakar, being the covering cherub.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also an I get them all mixed up. But
they're parallel chapters.
They really are.
Yeah.
That's probably why I do that. The covering cherub idea, we tend to picture him as one of the throne guardians.
Right, right.
But there's another interpretation of that in the original language, and the other interpretation
yes.
is that he was with the covering cherub. He was with the throne guardian.
Yeah, and in fact, that's the Septuagint translation. I'm going to try to bring this up here relatively quickly. The New English translators, the translators of the New English translation follow the Septuagint, the English Standard Version. You were an anointed, Ezekiel 28:14, you were an anointed guardian cherub. I placed you, you were on the holy mountain of God. So yeah, hey, Eden was a mountain. In the midst of the stones of fire you walked, but the NET translates it, I placed you there with an anointed guardian cherub.
Mm-hmm.
So that would eliminate the apparent contradiction, whether, you know, is the serpent, because as we've discussed previously, the Nakash is used interchangeably a few places in the Old Testament with seraphs. So is he one of the seraphim? How could he be a seraph and a cherub at the same time? Because they're described as looking very different from each other.
Yes.
But Ezekiel 28:14, according to the Septuagint, which reads very similar to the... I've got too many tabs open here. Book of Enoch, search file. Okay. From the very day you were created, I placed you with the cherub in the holy mountain of God. You came to be in the middle of fiery stones. And the fiery stones, again, a reference to those other entities, those other supernatural entities in the garden. So that would eliminate that contradiction. He was not the cherub. He was the Nakash, the serpent, or the seraph, but he was there with the guardian cherub. But you could also argue that, again, the Nakash is not the one who's being referred to in Ezekiel 28 or Isaiah 14 at all. So there are two possible explanations. Either those chapters don't refer to the rebel who tempted Adam and Eve, or the rebel who tempted Adam and Eve was not the guardian cherub. He was there with the guardian cherub.
Yeah, we don't want to confuse anybody. The Nakash is the original language for the entity that tempted Eve.
In Genesis 3, right. So either the Nakash was there with the cherub, or Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28 don't refer to the Nakash, but to another entity.
Well, I tell you what, we're going to run out of time today, but why don't we go back to Isaiah 14, because it's a very important chapter that is often used to say this is Satan's I will moment.
Where in Isaiah 14, beginning at verse 13, you said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. Above the stars of God, I will set my throne on high. Mm-hmm. I will sit on the Mount of Assembly in the far reaches of the north or on the remote slopes of Mount Zephon.
Yes.
I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. The five I wills of Isaiah 14, verse 13.
First of all,
and 14.
Halel ben Shakar is the name of an entity.
Right. And we've discussed that previously, where scholar William Gallagher argues that that is actually a transliteration from Akkadian into Ugaritic, and then borrowed by Isaiah for the entity Elil or Enlil, the chief god of Mesopotamia.
So, if this is Enlil speaking, he's also called El.
Mm-hmm. El of the Canaanites, right.
If this is El of the Canaanites speaking, what throne is he discussing?
Well,
and who's currently sitting on it?
That's a key question in verse 13.
It's assumed that it's the Lord.
Yeah, because it says above the stars of God. But again, we have to look beyond the English translation to get it, because
no,
in the Hebrew, the Hebrew actually reads above the stars of El, who is not Yahweh. So are we dealing with Yahweh here? I guess we're going to have to continue this over to next week, because...
Well, we are, because this is a big question, and you and I really discussed it this morning, and I'm not sure that we have a firm answer
on it. No, this is one of those times where we're going to have to say, we're speculating on a lot of this here, because as we said with the Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28 parallel chapters,
yes,
the two possible explanations for the apparent contradiction, is he a Nakash, a serpent, or is he a cherub? Well, maybe he's... The serpent, for sure, but not, he was there with the cherub, or there's another entity being discussed here. We don't know.
Well, we don't know, and I think next week we're going to have to start right here.
Yeah.
And talk about not only the entity who's saying, I will, but also the entity he is challenging. Ultimately,
right,
we know, as a rebel, he is challenging the Lord Almighty. But you have to ask yourself, Holy Spirit inspiring this, why use the word El when there were lots of words to describe Yahweh?
Yeah, could have called him the Most High, could have called him El Shaddai, which, you know,
instead of,
God
just
Almighty, instead of just El.
El.
Right. Well, the good news, too, is that there are plenty of things that we can know for certain about Satan, things that are in Scripture, and we will discuss those, if not next week, certainly within the next couple of weeks, when we start these programs. You're watching us learn on the fly.
We really are, and you get to learn with us, and really, our prayer is that when you watch this, sometimes you will disagree with us, but that will get you in the Bible. So start really studying for yourself, because if we do nothing else than drive you to prove us wrong because you want to go study the Word, then that actually makes us happy.
Absolutely. And hold these theories with open hands, being willing to change our minds as
on the fly.
We're already finding. You said back in episode 35 that Satan was. Like, yeah, okay. Well,
we've learned a lot since then.
Thank you for watching. This is Unraveling Revelation from Skywatch TV.
Unraveling Revelation is part of Skywatch TV, a viewer-supported ministry. Please visit our website, skywatchtv.com.